CG92 in Calgary and iHeartRadio, and we're joined on the phone by Joe Principe from Rise Against. Joe, you're not just back on the road. You're back in Canada, finally. How does it feel to be back in the Great White North?
You know, it's so amazing. Our first tour ever was a Snow Jam tour, you know, in 2001. So that was like our first tour experience, right? Like, was going to Eastern Canada. And that was even before we had any music out. Like, we just kind of got lucky and got on the tour. We kind of rode the coattails of my old band for a little bit there. Yeah, like, it feels so good. It's been a long while since we've been able to get to Canada. I think we're going on maybe a 4-year gap. You know, you include the pandemic, and then the last time we toured, you know, it's been about 4 years, especially Western Canada. It feels great to get back to it.
Hey, I wondered if you could take us inside what the process is like a little bit to having one of your songs remixed by another band. You had Idols take on Talking to Ourselves. And I wanted to know what that process was like, not only how it comes to be, but yeah, how does a band end up remixing another band?
You know, that was actually put together from our label and Idols manager just got to talking, and they thought it would be kind of cool to do that. So, you know, going into that project, we are fans of Idols, but we don't know those guys. And, it's kind of like just kind of let loose of the reins and let them do what they thought, you know, they want, or, you know, let them do what they wanted to do with the remix. And, it's definitely, you know, completely not what I thought it was going to be, but it really turned out like pretty amazing. You know, it's pretty out there. And I guess that's what you would want in a remix. You know, you don't want it to sound like the original, but you want it to be a little altered. It came out great, but we kind of didn't really have any interaction with the band members like themselves.
And Joe, you know, growing up listening to punk rock music, I know you're influenced by bands like the Ramones, the Dead Kennedys, Circle Jerks, Suicidal Tendencies. I wanted to use Suicidal Tendencies as an example for you because, you know, you grow up, you get influenced by these guys, and then they end up opening for your band. What is that like as a musician?
It's completely insane. Like, I'm still not used to it. It just blows my mind. And even now, like, we have Pennywise opening for us. And, you know, they're another band I grew up listening to. But every band that is in that, you know, the opening position, everyone's been super rad to us. They just, you know, everyone's happy to be playing shows, you know, even in the past. Yeah, when we've had Suicidal play before us or Bad Religion, you know, or, you know, anyone really. But it's kind of like, those are the moments where I'm like, wow, like what a journey. Like, it still like doesn't set in, but we're very fortunate to be able to do that and to kind of pay it back, you know, like we wanted to use our success to help those bands out as well, you know. So like we love doing that. We love that interaction, and we love that camaraderie that we get with those bands.
And Joe, you know, I know you've been, you know, touring with Rise Against for so long, surrounded by so many of your heroes that you know, you were influenced by, and you got to play with them. They got to play before you. I saw that, you know, when you were getting into music, that your favorite band as a kid was Kiss. Now, you know, what was it like meeting them as an adult, and did they live up to the pedestal that you put them on when you were a child?
I never really got meeting Kiss. It was more like, hi, how are you? And then it was, you know, you kind of move on. It was a very quick interaction at a festival, but that band, they were just like cartoon characters to me. You know, they had makeup and they were Gene Simmons spitting fire out, and like, you know, I kind of got into classic rock and in those bands at a young age through my cousins who lived next door to me. And they really opened up my world, you know, to heavy music. And Kiss just, I think it's because of the theatrics, you know, I was drawn to it. They're like comic book characters. And to this day, you know, I still love and appreciate what they do. But wow, like what a thing to behold, like when you're 6 and 7 years old, is Gene Simmons on stage.
We've got Joe Principe on the phone of Rise Against, their Nowhere Generation tour across the country right now. Joe, I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't ask a longtime member of a veteran rock band, you know, about how rock music lost a pretty big figure, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Did you get to know Taylor Hawkins over the years? Any stories you can share, any memories or just what comes to mind?
Yeah, you know, we toured with the Foos a handful of times over the years. Taylor was had such like just the biggest heart. He, you know, we were this band that got on. We did an East Coast tour, an Australian tour with them, and a bunch of festival dates throughout the world. And he always watched us play. He didn't need to do that. Like, and I thought that was so cool that he took the time. He always made a point to say hi to us, just like when we first met, you know, to establish like a friendship. And it really is, you know, it's tragic because, I mean, he really was so talented. You know, he kind of could do everything, you know, musically, just really musically inclined, and just a heart of gold, you know? So that was such a big loss.
So you're a veteran punk rocker. You know, you've made noise about important things for multiple decades now, you know? So if we're feeling it, you know, as guys that remember their first copy of Revolutions Per Minute thinking it, what does the job look like in 2022 versus as a band like Rise Against starting out the late 90s? Like, the gig is the same, but how has the job changed in over two decades of Rise Against?
You know, I think, I feel like the direction of the band, yeah, like the ideology and just kind of the overall ethics of the band, that remains intact. But I think Tim, especially when he's writing lyrics, I think he avoids low-hanging fruit. Because I think in this day and age, it's easy to go after, you know, the Donald Trumps of the world. And you know, people kind of expected, especially our record Wolves that came out during the Trump administration, they expected that record just to be about Donald Trump. And it's like, well, no, let's not give them that much credit. Like, let's think bigger. Let's think ahead. And I think overall, the direction of the band, it's always been, you know, a sense of hope, you know, just don't be afraid to speak your mind. And I really feel like, I know that's, it might be a little, you know, cliche, but it's true. You know, it's like growing up, I was so quiet. I was definitely an introvert, and it made me frustrated, you know, growing up, because I couldn't speak. I just didn't have the ability to speak my mind. I didn't have it in me. And then I got older and I realized, like, oh, it's important to let people know how you feel and how you think, because that's how change starts. You know, when you speak up and then someone else chimes in, like, yeah, I feel the same way. And then that snowballs. And I think, overall, Rise Against, that's kind of what we've been about for 20 years, you know, and you know, different facets. You know, sometimes we are direct and more to the point. Sometimes we're a little bit more abstract, lyrically speaking, but the intent is still there.
You know, Joe, back when you guys first started writing, you know, songs, and you guys were a punk band and you had some political messages in your songs, you know, political, people talking about politics wasn't as apparent as it is today, where you can go on any kind of social media, just open up Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you're going to see people just spewing their political opinion. And after a while, it just becomes white noise, and nobody seems to want to listen to that kind of chatter anymore. As a band with a lot of political messages in your songs, how do you get your songs to stand out from the people on Facebook's opinion and the Twitters and the Instagrams? Do you guys ever have like a meeting nowadays where you're like, everyone's talking about politics, how can we say it differently?
Yeah, you know what? I really feel like it goes back to the Trojan horse effect, where Tim has a knack for writing lyrics that are not so in your face, but the, like I said, the intent is there. So I think as people listen to our songs, maybe that it'll set in, like, oh, he's singing about this or that and not that. Like, it's not so like directly in your face, because I think you don't want people to have an adverse reaction, and you don't want them to feel like they're being force fed anything, anyone's opinions. You know, we want to present facts, and we want people to make up their own minds for what they believe in and how they choose to lead their life. And, you know, I think that's all we can do. But I really feel like it's the way Tim finesses the lyrics. You know, it makes it so, I guess it makes it a little bit more palatable, if that's a thing. Like, it makes it more palatable, really.
And Joe, I thought this was really neat, you know, hearing the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Flea and Anthony from California, you know, talking about how cool it was to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They were recognized by their hometown. When you guys just put out this last album, you know, your band's hometown of Chicago declared it Rise Against Day. How special was that for all you guys?
You know, it was such a good feeling, because one, it was the city of Chicago realizing that they've kind of been slacking a little bit in supporting the arts. And that's really how that came about. They did a poll, and Chicago is pretty down the list on cities that support the arts and their entertainment industry. And so they wanted to like kind of step it up. And we were the first band they thought of to kick off this kind of effort to raise awareness. And really, I mean, it's such an honor. You know, Chicago, it's no secret we're very proud of coming from Chicago, living in Chicago. And that was just icing on the cake. So now it's like, now the question is, well, we have this Rise Against Day. So what do we do year after year to celebrate it? So we'll have to get pretty creative, but we plan on doing something.
What was that about, Joe, about Chicago specifically, or what is it that in a market that causes a city to not celebrate something as important as live music and culture like that? You guys were a part of the Save Our Stages movement, if memory serves. You know, you talk about like Chicago having a hard look in the mirror and going like, okay, we should be celebrating our arts and music a little bit more. Like, is that a lack of venues? Like what drives that? What makes that a problem for a city? Do you know? Cause I mean, you're a product of that city and that scene.
I feel like it's just the lack of government. It's people just not paying attention. I mean, the rich history of Chicago blues, Chicago, the underground scene with industrial, even with the hip hop scene, a lot of it's rooted in Chicago. So like it's almost embarrassing. Like the government, city of Chicago should be embarrassed, like for waiting so long to pay attention to it, because there was definitely no lack of venues. There was definitely a lot going on, especially underground. And it's cool that they're finally stepping up. But yeah, that always kind of blew my mind. You know, even like my friends, even my Canadian friends, you know, Canada has always been super supportive of the arts, right? And bands and touring and even Europe, same with Europe and Scandinavia. Like, so it's always a little bit like, man, like why generally, like why are the United States? So I don't know, like almost like they're just, it wasn't important. They were onto like other things. And I kind of grew up used to that feeling though, because I grew up going to like a Catholic school where we literally didn't have a music program and we barely had an art class. It just wasn't present in the everyday curriculum, you know? So it's kind of like a foreign thing to me when I got into music and playing my bass and guitar. And I just kind of had to discover everything for myself, basically.
If I don't ask a question for my 17-year-old self, I'm going to hate myself later for it. And I'm not a guy in a band, so you probably hate being asked about specific shows, especially if it was a long time ago. But my 17-year-old self needs to know if you remember a particularly unruly show at West Edmonton Mall in the mid-2000s. You guys were with Alexis on Fire. It was the only time I didn't see you when you came through, and I heard so much crazy stuff about this show, and I'm wondering if you remember it.
Oh, I remember that very vividly, because I remember Dallas from Alexis on Fire getting into a fight with security, and then, you know, we all kind of jumped in, and it became a mess. Like, no one like in Rise Against and Alexis on Fire are fighters, but it was like the security was, they were being just kind of, they were just being meatheads to like the audience. They were not being cool. They were like kind of manhandling the kids there. And I'll never forget that. That was the closest thing to like a riot, I think, at one of our shows that we've ever experienced. But I remember that very vividly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, my last question for you, buddy. You guys are out touring Canada right now with your last album from last year. And we've got to thank you for always including Canada on your tours, because not a lot of bands do that. I feel like you guys are coming here all the time. But, you know, you guys are touring a record that came out last year. And I know last year wasn't that long ago. But you guys got anything planned for a new album coming out before the end of this year?
No, nothing. No, we're going to continue touring on Nowhere Generation. I think every band in the world, I think, is trying to play catch up, right, with missing out in the last 2 years. So I think it's like everyone paused and now we're picking up where we left off. So we're going to try to hit as many places as we can on this record. And then we'll focus on on a new record, but probably not till 2024, you know?
Awesome. Well, Joe Principe from Rise Against, man, thanks for your time today, dude. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you on the Nowhere Generation Tour when it swings through Calgary.
Awesome. Thank you so much.